Thank you, Dean. This week's Haftarah portion is from the book of Jeremiah. It's only 16 verses for our Haftarah portion. Jeremiah chapter 46, verses 13 through 28. Just 16 verses. But those last two verses of our portion this week can speak powerful words to all of us. And certainly it was speaking powerful words to scattered Israel, Israel that was scattered and Israel that would remain scattered for many, many, many years, even up until today. So these are powerful words for this morning, and this is what I want to base my message on this morning. Let's go to Jeremiah 46 and those two verses, 27 and 28. But as for you, O Jacob, my servant, do not fear nor be dismayed, O Israel. For see, I am going to save you from afar and your descendants from the land of their captivity, and Jacob will return to be undisturbed and secure, with no one making him tremble. O Jacob, my servant, do not fear, declare the Lord, for I am with you. For I will make a full end of all the nations where I have driven you, yet I will not make a full end of you, but I will correct you properly and by no means leave you unpunished. There's blessings and curses. But even what we see maybe as a curse at the end, he says, I'm not going to leave you unpunished. The thing is, he is going to refine us. He is going to make us better. And so it's going to be a kind of punishment that parents will punish their kids in the hopes that their kids will become better kids and will become good adults. And so these words are wonderful blessings, as I said, for not only scattered Israel, but these are blessings for us, because the first two verses, 27 and 28, they both begin with the words, do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear, or fear not. Maybe your translation has it. Al-tira is the Hebrew. Al-tira. Whether it means do not fear or fear not or thou shall not fear. It's the idea that God wanted Israel not to fear because he had something wonderful in store for them. And so these are words not only for scattered Israel, that some of us are here today, we are scattered Israel, but also for the entire body of Messiah. These are wonderful words for us this morning. Al tira, do not fear. The most repeated, by the way, the most repeated commandment in the entire Bible. You know, we have the Ten Commandments, but this is a commandment by God. Do not fear, al tira. It is the most common commandment in the entire Bible. Do you think God doesn't want us to fear? Do you think God doesn't want Israel to fear? It's the most common commandment that we have. I can only imagine, in God's infinite knowledge, that he knew what our world would be today, what our world would be like today, 2,700 years after he spoke these words through the prophet Jeremiah. But in his infinite knowledge, he knows what's going on today, 2,700 years later. And so he is telling us, just as he was telling Israel, do not fear. He may be punishing us here and there. He may not give us everything that we want for our life. When we pray to him and we give him our wish list, he may not give us the entire wish list, but he may do things for us. He may keep things away from us every once in a while or often because he wants us to become better people. He wants us to mature. He wants us to grow closer to him. And so just like the parent that needs to punish sometime the children, God will sometimes punish us. But he wants us to come out of that on the other side to be better people. And so, we need to rely on the Lord. We need to fear not. It's very important for each and every one of us today. He's the God that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when he says fear not, he means it even today. Fear not. We look at King David, we look at David. David was captured by the Philistines. And instead of fear, just put yourself in that situation. If your enemy captures you, let's say if you were kidnapped today, instead of fear, he set his vision on the Lord. And he put his faith in the Lord. We're going to look at just a couple of verses here from Psalm 56. When I am afraid, David says, I will put my trust in you. In God, those words I praise, in God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere men do to me? In God, whose word I praise. In the Lord, whose word I praise. In God, I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? And so he is saying, I shall not be afraid. And he says, basically, what can man do to me? And this is the reality. You know, we all hate to talk about death, but the reality is, if we have eternal life through the blood of Messiah Yeshua, and we know that we know that we know that we know what happens when we die and take our last breath, then the reality is, why should we fear man? The worst that could happen to us is that we die, which would be the best that could happen to us. I know it's this morbid kind of thinking, and we don't like to see death, and we don't like to see loved ones pass on. But the reality is, the final thing is, what can man do for us that would be so terrible? Man cannot take away our eternal life. And so this is what David is basically saying to the Lord. Because the Lord says to him, fear not. So let's think about this. What fear is trying to grip you today? What are you afraid of? And I'm not talking about spiders and snakes. I'm talking about fear. What kind of fear may you have in your life? Maybe when you go to bed at night and you're laying in bed, or maybe when maybe when you're home, you're sitting alone. What kind of fear do you have in your life? We need to think about that sometime. What is taking hold of you right now today as fear? Because what we might want to do is we might want to sing like David. You know, what I read to you is a psalm, but a psalm, it was a song. So whatever we're reading here, David put these words to music and he sang this thing. So whatever our fear is this morning, maybe we should sing a song. You know, when I am afraid of, fill in the blank, I will trust in you, Lord. I'm sure that's not the melody. But the thing is, whatever it is, when I am afraid, and put in whatever you want, I will trust in you, Lord. Maybe we should sing that more often. Maybe when we're home and the enemy gets a hold of us and grips us with fear. Maybe when, you know, when we're laying in bed at night, or maybe when we hear bad news on the news, maybe what we should do is break out in song. I am not going to be afraid, Lord, because I trust in you. We can do that. David said it to music. Let's sing it to music. And something special. When we sing something, there is just something special about it. It does something with our heart. It does something. It brings some kind of joy and gladness, even though the words may be negative, that we're talking about fear. It will change things in our lives. It'll change things in our hearts. So maybe we should try to do that a little more often. You know, right now I'm thinking of that, you know, what was it? What was the movie? Whenever I feel afraid and hold my head erect, whistle a happy tune. What was it? What was the movie? Sound of Music? Sound of Music?
Song of the South.
No, what was the movie?
The King and I.
The King and I? The King and I. Okay. Well, I guess I was close, huh? Was it The King and I? Okay. So, hey, you know, it's the same idea, right? But we have it from the real source here. Whenever we have fear in our lives, let's just sing it. Sing it out loud. Maybe we should do that more often. So we need to look at fear and be able to separate. There are different kinds of fear in our lives. Sometimes they use the word fear in the Bible, and some people will look at it and it'll bring a negative connotation to people when we talk about the fear of the Lord. You know, and right away people think, oh, the Lord, you know, God is big and bad because he wants us to be afraid of him and to fear him. But the thing is, we need to separate these things out. Fear can be harmful. Fear can be healthy. We can fear the unknown. We can fear the known. And a lot of times we do fear the unknown. We don't know what's going to happen. So it might be almost natural sometimes that we fear things because we don't really understand those things. Fear can be because of a lack of experience, the unknown, and we don't know how to do something. And so we get afraid. We don't want to tackle something. We don't know how to do it. And we're afraid to even start doing it or trying to do it. And fear can be a lack of faith because sometimes we just don't have the faith. We should try to have the faith of David. So no matter what we fear for, we can turn to God and sing that song that we trust in you, Lord. We need to separate fear. Fear, there's a healthy fear. There's a moral reverence. That's the kind of when the word says to fear God, it's a moral reverence. It is a respect. That's how we are to fear God. Not to cower from God because he's going to punish us, but to fear God, to respect him, to have reverence for him. Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. See, if we are really, so in other words, if we really want to be wise and really understand God, we need to have this fear, this respect, this reverence for the Lord. You know, it's like good, healthy parents. I talked about parents a few minutes ago. But if you are a good, healthy parent, you want their kids to respect you. And I'm telling you, if your kids don't respect you, you've got a handful. Now, the kids may think they're real smart and they know better, but the reality is it's only going to be bad for them down the line. But as good parents, we want our kids to respect us. We don't want them to fear us. We want them to respect us. And it's not a respect in fear where they, you know, oh my God, we're afraid that everything that they say that we have to do, otherwise we're afraid for our lives. It's not that we should cower from our parents and shy away from, but it is a respect. That's the kind of fear that God our Father wants his children to have. Because God is a good, healthy parent. And so that's how we need to be as good, healthy parents. Fear, but it's a fear that is a respectful fear because we want the best for our children. We don't want to punish them because we want to punish them and we want to see them not grow up as good adults. We do this because we want them to learn. Just as Jeremiah said, the word of God, that He will punish us. We will not be unpunished. He punishes us because he's a good father. He wants us to respect him. He wants us to have reverence for him. He wants us to fear him in that way because he's a good parent and he wants only the best for his children. And so even in our physical makeup, and every once in a while, you know, I'm sure you think about this thing. You probably learned about it in and at least in high school you learned about it, that physical makeup that we have, God, he has this wonderful way to create us, to have all these things that are going on inside of our body that we're not even aware of. Hundreds of hormones working in one time and readjusting themselves and levels going higher and levels going lower, and we're not even aware of it. And so we have this wonderful mechanism called fight or flight. We've all heard of fight or flight. And what exactly is that? What is that? It's where our bodies respond to fear. And it responds to fear, and either way that it responds actually is a protective mechanism for us. It's to protect our lives. It's to make sure that we stay alive. And so fight or flight, we have hormones that are released when we have fear in our lives. And what happens is your heart rate increases, your blood pressure increases, your nervous system gets hyper, even blood flow to your muscles increases so that you can do things. You know the stories about people when they were in a situation and they were in a fight or flight situation and they did things like lifting cars up. You know, they do what we would call supernatural things. Why? Because the blood flow to their muscles increased so much that they could do things, they could lift things up that they normally couldn't do. It's all part of that fight or flight. So it allows you to either fight if you need to stand your ground and fight, or if you need to, turn around and run like the Dickens. Fast. And you'll run. You could run supernaturally fast. You know, this happened to me when I was a kid, and I'll never forget it. We were somewhere, and I was wearing, you know, sneakers, and I stepped on a board that had a nail in it, and I stepped in it, and it went into my foot, and I'm telling you, fear took over, and I ran home avoiding putting my foot on the ground. Yet I got home in super high speed. I don't know how that ever happened. But, you know, that's what happens. The fear comes on, and it was that fight or flight mechanism, and I ran home. I probably broke a record in running with only one foot. This is what God allows us to do. That it's a wonderful mechanism. So we need to also look at all these different kinds of fear and try to separate them out and see and realize what is good and what is bad and what's going to help us and what's going to harm us. Because fear, not only different definitions, but different purposes in our life and for different reasons. And sometimes we feel like we are up against the wall, and then somehow God seems to come through. Why is that? Why is that? Right? You know, and some say, I'm going to pray one more time about this thing, but I don't know if God's ever going to come through with this thing. I've been waiting for so long for this thing to happen, and I don't know. We're right up against the time limit here. Why is that thing that happens? It seems to be that so often God, and this is why, he can be a last-minute God for us. The last-minute God, we can term him, because he does things so many times in our lives at the last minute. Maybe he does that to test your faith. Maybe if he gave you everything you needed immediately, there'd be no faith involved. But he wants you to press on. He wants us sometimes to have to wait and wait and wait. Because in the time that we wait, he wants to see that our faith is going to increase. And so that might be one of the reasons he has become that last minute God for us. It grows us. When we increase our faith, it grows us. It makes us more mature. It makes us really realize how important it is to have faith in our lives. And so that's probably couple of good reasons that he is the last minute God. Not because he's not efficient and not as effective as we would want him to be at the time we would want him to be. But he does it for us. He does it to mature us, to grow us. I guess it's the best term I had here. God knows the unknown. Fear not. God's our provider. Fear not. God is our shield and our sword. Fear not. Fear not. Altira. God is our mender and our healer. Fear not. God does things in his timing. Fear not. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So whatever we read about something that happened 2,700 years ago, 3,000 years ago, it doesn't matter, because we're reading about the same God that is the same today and will be the same in the future. So our word this morning, our two words are, fear not. God is here with us. And when things don't seem to be working the way we want them to work, fear not. God knows what's going on. He's got it all together. And he's got a reason for not responding the way we may want him to respond. We need to fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Hallelujah.